Oh, praise the Lord forever. I want to review for just a minute, and then I want to move into where the Holy Spirit has us right now. One of the things I've noticed in the way the Holy Spirit's been teaching us during this time, ultimately, what is our goal? It's not to become smart. It's not to have a lot of knowledge, but you have to have a lot of knowledge. Our ultimate goal is to bring forth the manifestation of the kingdom of God that's presently originating in the right hand of God as a finished inheritance, spiritual though it may be. Our ultimate goal is for that to manifest here into the earth. Amen. We kind of said it in the Lord's Prayer like, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already finished in heaven. It's how to get heaven down to earth. Amen. We're not looking for a visitation. We're not looking for just an anointing. We're looking for habitation, and we're looking for inheritance. Amen. And because it's inheritance, it operates by a higher standard and a higher law. Amen. Inheritance cannot be worked for, but it must be believed for. You got to write that down. Inheritance cannot be worked for, no more than inheritance here can be. Now, courts and lawyers transact inheritances here by way of wills. Well, you have the same thing. You have the Supreme Court of Heaven. You have a will and a testament that God has left to us and is transacted by faith and understanding how faith works. And that's what we've been after for so long. We're not trying to build a church here. We're trying to find how the kingdom of God can release in the earth, because when the kingdom of God comes in the earth, it'll build a church for you. Amen. And it's taken a while, because part of our calling is to unlock the mysteries that govern the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit given us a lot of revelation in this area. You really need to understand. If you think it's just going to fall out of heaven, let me tell you something. What does not move God? Your need moved God once at the cross. He gave his son for your need, but your need presently cannot move God. If God could be moved by need, the whole world would be rid of poverty just like that. Now, he already was moved by need, but he finished that work and he put it in heavenly places. He put a finished work in heavenly places. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, why did you put it there? Why didn't you just give it to here like you did Adam the first time? He goes, because it had been stolen again. Because the devil is the prince and the god of this world system presently, and because he stole it from Adam, if I restored it back to you here with the present knowledge of my people, it'd be stolen just like that again. So I put it out of reach of the enemy. I put it in heavenly places, in the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers. That's why he said, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessing. I said, well, that's really great, but it's way up there. And he goes, it's not way up there, it's inside you. Because I put the kingdom inside you. So I put an inheritance the enemy has no access to. And if he did steal it, it's an unlimited inheritance. He can't steal that one. Amen? And I put it in a place where he can never take the inheritance. And then I gave you access to it. So we've been talking about what's called the leaven effect. The Bible talks about leaven as a woman. She took three measures of meal and hid it into the leaven until the whole was leaven. We're talking about mustard seed faith. It's the same thing. Three measures are what? The word, which is the evidence of your faith. Dunamis, creative power, the substance of your faith. Both of those were in the building blocks of all creation. Dunamis was there and still was the word. We've been in that. And the third one was faith. Now, one of the things we've talked about is a lot of times people try to exercise faith and it doesn't work for them because they're trying to operate the last phase of faith, or what we call post-leaven faith. You're trying to operate in post-leaven, mountain-moving faith without having the proper components of faith. It's like asking for a tree to just come out of the ground with no seed in the ground. If you don't receive the components of the kingdom, you're not going to be able to get the harvest you're looking for. You can speak to the ground all day and say, I decree a tree come forth from thee. But if you don't put seed in that ground and water with that seed and respiration, oxygen, you're not going to get that tree to come out of the ground. It's not going to happen. I don't care how much faith you got. And that's what we're trying to do, is produce an outward tree with no inward operation. You are the soil and the ground that God births from. Amen. A tender of the garden. So your faith, your first level of faith, what we call pre-leaven faith. You have pre-leaven faith, post-leaven faith. Leaven is the exchange process that takes the spiritual and exchanges it into the natural, transforms it into the natural, transforms it into manifestation, transforms it into demonstration, transforms the spiritual, just like he took the water and transformed it into wine. He takes the word that's spiritual, that's evidence, that's hidden, that's invisible, and he transforms it, and it becomes flesh and dwells among men. Amen. Same with dunamis. So that's what the leaven does. That's post-leaven operation. We are still in pre-leaven operation, but we're almost there. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've talked a lot about the words. The mustard seed faith has many operations. First thing a faith has to do, there's about four operations of mustard seed faith. The first one is hearing the kingdom, hearing the word. And then there's faith to access, because we have learned by the Holy Spirit not to pray in this jurisdiction. When you pray, enter into the inner sanctuary of the kingdom of God, shut the door, and your Father that's in that place will see it you, and he'll reward you openly. So there's faith to hear, then there's faith to access, amen? Then there's faith, this is the big one, to receive. When you stand praying, believe, say believe, that you receive, and you shall have, amen? So that's a big one. We're trying to operate in faith out there, but you haven't received anything. Everything happens by faith. You receive dunamis by faith. Sarah received dunamis to conceive. By faith, you receive the word. By faith, you receive dunamis. Amen. That's an operation of faith. Faith to receive. Amen. That's still pre-leaven. Faith to receive. Then there's faith to keep, or faith to acknowledge. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. If you don't learn to acknowledge what's in you, it'll fade away. It'll be there, but you won't know it's there. It's like people that are born again. They got the Holy Ghost. Somebody got baptized, and they go back in the world, and they don't know that it's there. Amen? Do you start acknowledging? You want the kingdom of God to come alive inside of you, you have to acknowledge. Acknowledge. We've talked a lot about acknowledgement. That's faith to acknowledge, faith to keep. Now, this is the what I believe with all my heart is the final operation of pre-leaven faith before we get to post-leaven manifestation. What are we looking for? Post-leaven manifestation. The manifestation of the kingdom, the manifestation of our faith. That pre-leaven. There's one other operation. This is a powerful one. This is the one we're in right now. It's faith that sees. Say what? Faith that sees. You must see. The Bible says, unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom. When he was talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Matthew 13, he says, they have eyes. He goes, why are you speaking parables? And he answered them, and he says, their eyes are shut. Their eyes are closed. Seeing, they may not see. They see with these eyes, but they don't see with the eye of faith. Faith has an eye. Faith can see the invisible. It sees the word of God. It sees the promise. And you must develop that. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. How to develop faith to see. Once you get this, faith to see. This is one of the final things of what Abraham got in his final year. He carried that word for 24 years and couldn't birth it. But boy, when he enacted that faith to see, bam. And what he couldn't do in 24, he did in one. Against hope, he believed in hope, became the father of many nations. Jesus said, I can only do what I see. See, when God originates something in your life, he's going to originate it inside of you, not outside of you. You got to learn the kingdom of God cometh not by ocular evidence, not by observation. The kingdom of God cometh from within. So when God's going to originate something in the earth, originate something in your life, he's going to plant it within you. And you're going to see it in there. And I'm going to teach you how to see it. You can live in it, praise the Lord. Amen. And it's requirement you live in it, because it's not just knowledge you're carrying. It's a living word that you can live in. That's what he meant by meditate. You know what meditation means? It means to ponder, to speak. It means to imagine. It means to utter. People really don't know what meditation is. A lot of people think meditation is take a scripture, memorize it. That's not meditation. That's memorization. Meditation's far greater. He says, if you'll meditate my word day and night, you will have good success. But you're going to have to learn what meditation is. Thy word, if I hid it in my heart, see, you hide it, then you live in it. That's what I'm going to teach you, how to live in your word. If you don't live in your word, you're going to live in the circumstances that surround your life. And if you're living in the circumstances that surround your life, they're going to constantly prophesy to you. The enemy's going to surely prophesy to you. You can't have it. You're not worth it. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? And if he can't do that, he'll distract. He's got a million things he'll throw at you. But I want to teach you how to live inside that word you got. How to get it planted and then live in it. To where it becomes greater than anything out here. And when it becomes greater than anything out here, then leaven's on its way. To transform that spiritual word into a manifestation into the earth. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. It's called the dominion mechanism. Let man have dominion. You think with God that had in mind, let man have dominion, is going to take man's human sufficiency and go have dominion in the earth? We have dominion by God's sufficiency. We have dominion by doing things God's way. And God's way is the kingdom. God's way is faith. So the dominion mechanism has everything to do with God's way. As a man thinketh, say thinketh, in his heart, not his head, his heart. Your mind will get squirrely, but your spirit will be sound. Now you have a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Don't misunderstand what I just said. But your spirit is a man thinketh or believeth, say believeth, in the heart. So is he. Now the world has discovered this, and because of this, I want to talk to you today about the operation, because we've talked several series teachings already on the imagination. I want to talk to you and differentiate the world's way and God's way. Amen? That's why I call this sanctified imagination. Say sanctified. Now, for the sake of this teaching, I want to share briefly an encounter I have, because I was given this key in the spirit and I didn't understand it at the time, but now I do. Praise the Lord. Everything God ever teaches you is for a reason. Everything. Don't lose what God gives you. But in the middle of this encounter, I remember I had this very deep presence of His glory come over me, and I got caught up in the spirit. When I got caught up in the spirit, I started rising. This wasn't an out-of-body experience, but it was an encounter. And I started rising in the spirit, and it's like the Lord was here with me. And when I was going up, I saw this look to be a golden city. It looked like New York skyline times four. It was just sprawling, just kept going, 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 going. Just beautiful. Millions of people in it. There was a lot of activity. And, I mean, I was so enthralled with the city. I was looking at it, but it's like we were rising and the city was staying. I'm like, I want to be there. And it seemed like this cloud of glory was over us. And I saw him, like, motion with his hand. He said, this is the room. He called it a room. He didn't even call it a city. It looked like a city to me. He goes, this is the room of my blessing. He goes, most of my people operate here. Well, let's get in there then. Thinking, I'm like, but we kept going up. I'm like, what's going on? And we went through this like layer of glory. I don't know. It's like a cloud. And I ended up on top of a mountain. And this mountain had a like an ancient gate that went inside the mountain. These doors opened. And it was dark in that mountain. We walked in that room, but it was all dark in there. But I could see, even though it was dark in that mountain, that kind of treasure in that room. Stocks, bonds, just everything. It was, and I'm like, why am I here? And I'm walking through this. And we come back out of that room, and I'm standing there, and above that gate was written, Room of Inheritance. The other one was Room of Blessing. This one, Room of the Inheritance. And I thought, in heaven, you don't really, or in the spirit, you don't have to say words. You can just think. You can communicate. I thought, well, why is it dark in there? And immediately the Lord said, it's dark because all that you see in this room is presently under control of the enemy. He said, and the second reason is because no light has been given to this room. All the lights in the golden room you saw coming up. He goes, that's where my people understand how to operate with me. They don't understand how to operate here. He goes, I want to teach you how to be a gatekeeper to this room. There's this key. It was like a block, but it was like pure glory. It was the shape of a key, but it was thick. It was almost 6 inches wide. And he took this block, brick, key, and he shoved it in my spirit. And right after that, I started getting the revelation of what I call the sanctified imagination. That was almost the final part of the key. But I thought then that was the key. I said, this is the key. We're ready to go. I didn't know I'm still 10 years out. God will never tell you how far out you are. You always think you're at the door. He wants you staying at the door. Sometimes your faith will get to the door too soon. You don't have all the keys to unlock it yet. So that key was the final part. Sanctified imagination was the final part. What we're in right now was the whole of that key. Dunamis, the word, the measures, mustard seed faith, right hand of God, right hand of inheritance. All of this stuff was the composite of that key, the componency. But this part of the key, the sanctified imagination, the ability to see the promise. As a man thinketh his heart, that when they came to the Lord, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work, singular, of God. Because you get this one right, you get everything else right. He says, to believe. So we think because we take a scripture and we actually believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and surely he's borne our sickness and carried our pains, that it's automatically going to manifest. No, you know that he did that. But to believe, it's a different story. Believing is a process that takes the spiritual inheritance of the kingdom of God and converts it to a natural manifestation in the earth. Amen? Now, there's another definition the Lord gave me in another encounter. I'll save you the details. I was in a conference, and I went out in the field. I had an intercession on me. I didn't know where to go. I went out in the field. There was this field next to this conference at my spiritual father's place. I went out in this field. I was totally, intercession was all over me. I was on my knees after a service, weeping and crying in the middle of a field. Because the Spirit of God was on me so strong. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, would you like my definition of what it means to believe me? And he gave me this definition of believing. He said, it's a state of seeing and saying, say seeing and saying, that manifest the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Now back then, I was a big confession boy. Man, everything was confession, 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 confession. But I didn't understand, and I was confessing out here. What I really didn't understand was to really build a God kind of faith, you speak and see here. In a process of meditation that's going to bring forth something, the Holy Spirit's going to transform. He's going to take the impossible thing and make it possible. With that in mind, we've been talking about the sanctified imagination. God, in order to see, say see, God is going to use your imagination. Now, don't be confused with a seer gift. I'm not talking about a prophet seer gift that sees into the spirit. I'm talking about seeing by the eye of faith that's going to produce a manifestation. A prophet can see for 50 years under a seer gift. We're talking about faith that manifests the kingdom. Amen? Now, he's going to utilize and use your imagination, but he's going to use it in a sanctified state. You cannot see the kingdom without the employment of your imagination. That's impossible. So listen, you cannot see because the kingdom's going to originate where? Here. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. You're going to have to see the promise. The Bible says the word is the evidence of the thing not yet seen, but God's going to require you see it. Before it happens, and you're not going to see it out here, because once it manifests out here, you don't need faith. If your manifestation sit in front of you, you don't need any faith, just get in it. You're going to see it inside. Now, I'm going to give you, in the next latter half of this message here, I'm going to differentiate, because it's very important you understand the difference between operating in the spirit and operating in the soul. Amen? Because the world, believe it or not, operates under the dominion mechanism, and it works for them. but they operate it from the soul. But it's very important you understand the difference, because we are not soulish believers. We are spirit believers. Amen? If you don't learn to see, if you don't learn to shift and allow the Holy Spirit to change the image within, you're going to keep getting the same harvest. As a man believeth in his heart, thinketh in his heart, whatever's going on in your heart is already ordering your environment, whether you know it or not. You know why it's so difficult for people to break out of poverty that's grown up in it? Because all of their mindset and their imagination and all of their belief system grew up in that. It had ordered the belief system. So to get out of that, you can't. A lot of times you're trying to work yourself out of that, see? But if you don't ever change what's inside, you'll keep reordering it. That's why people who are dead broke and they win the lottery. Have you ever studied those people who win the lottery? How many of them go right back to where they were? 5 years or less, one man won $330 million. And in 5 years, he was dead broke and owed taxes. How dumb can you get and still breathe? But he was poverty before that. His heart and what was going on inside of him just reordered his life, brought back to where it was, because it never shifted inside. See, the Holy Ghost has got to shift you inside. That's what God's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what believing is going to do. It's going to shift you within. Glory to God. So I want to differentiate between the two. And so I'm going to talk about the sanctified imagination first. Then I'm going to talk about fantasy. Then I'm going to talk about the soulish imagination, because it's important. You understand the difference between the two, because you won't be operating in the wrong one. Amen. Nor should you be afraid of which one you're operating in. By the end of today's message, you'll understand. Amen. I'm going to give you some notes the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you. This is the sanctified imagination. Listen to this. This is his definition. He is so good with definitions. It's amazing. Here's the definition of a sanctified imagination. Ready? The sanctified imagination is the paintbrush the Holy Spirit employs to construct the image of the promise on the canvas of your belief system through faith. I'll say it again. The sanctified imagination is the paintbrush the Holy Spirit employs to construct the image of the promise or the image of the inheritance on the canvas of your belief system through faith. He's going to take the imagination and he's going to rewrite it. Amen. But before he does that, there's certain things he's looking for. That's why this was the final teaching and not the beginning. Amen. Sanctified imagination is under submission to the Holy Spirit and is anchored in the confines, boundaries, and parameters of the Word of God and the Kingdom of God. That's important. Sanctified imagination is primarily centered in the kingdom of God. Sanctified imagination is continually guided by the word of God, whether logos or rhema. Sanctified imagination is the primary catalyst for developing the belief system through faith. Sanctified imagination cannot be employed to exert your will over another. Did you hear that? In other words, you can't look at somebody and say, that's my husband. That's my wife. I'm going to start seeing it right now. I'm going to start seeing it. A life together with this person. You can't do that. That's soulish operation. What you can do, though, and this is what I did, you can receive the word of God concerning marriage. God has a lot to say about marriage. You can receive promises concerning marriage. Like, my wife is a fruitful vine by the size of my house, and my children are all it plants around about my table. So my land shall be called Beulah, which means married, and I shall be termed Hephzibah, which is the delight in her. I see, I used to speak that all the time. I'd hold that promise. See, now you can believe for a mate. I did that for 6 months before I met her, and two counterfeits showed up before her. Two of them. So two counterfeits showed up, but I kept believing. Now, you can believe, you just can't exert your will over another person. All right? So it's important to understand that. Now, one of the reasons they call it positive thinking, nothing wrong with it, visualization, the world practices, corporations practice these operations, athletes practice visualization. Some of the best ones ever have taken human achievement to the limits. You know the guy who broke the 4-minute mile? He didn't do it by running hard. He saw himself do it every day. Some of the greatest athletes, I'll say, how did you do this with breaking barriers? So how did you do this? I saw myself doing it. I saw myself doing it. I saw myself doing it. You know what they were doing? They were painting by way of the soul, the paintbrush on the, by way of the imagination, painting the canvas. And what happened? It kicked the dominion mechanism in. Because as a man thinketh in his what? Heart, so is he. The world can use, God didn't take that away at the fall. It's still there. But we are looking for the impossible. Now let me read something the Holy Spirit gave me. This will clear it up. Positive thinking and visualization is the paintbrush the soul, the mind, employs to advance the potential of human endeavor and achievement. They take this to advance the potential of humans. We're not trying to advance our potential. We're trying to receive the impossible. There's a difference. They don't need God. We do. The motto of the soulish imagination, listen to this. You ready? Soulish imagination motto. All things are possible with man. Trust in yourself. You can do it. Just do it. Get on with it. You see that? Motto of the sanctified imagination. All things are possible with God. One trust in God. One trust in themselves. I can do it. Soulish imagination. God can do it. Sanctified imagination. You're going to get two different results. With a soulish imagination, they're going to advance the potential. See, some preachers get a hold of this, but they don't teach it right. People start moving in the wrong direction. I'll show you how to move in the right direction in a minute. The soulish imagination is advancing the potential of human achievement and endeavor. It can't get into what's totally impossible, but it can sure keep breaking certain boundaries, see. But they're doing it and trusting themselves. I can do this. I see myself doing it. It's different. With faith, I see God doing it. With the soulish imagination, I see me doing it. One's rooted in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One's rooted in the tree of life. One's rooted in the tree of self. The other one's rooted in the tree of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. We're not looking at human endeavor. We're not looking at human potential. We're looking at the impossible. We're looking at God to do this, see. But see, the world picks up and has discovered what God gave to humans in the dominion mechanism. And they employ certain things with it. And it works for them. Don't think it doesn't work. It does work. But we're not trying to operate out of that foundation. Our motto is not all things are possible with us. Oh, you can just do it. No, our motto is I can do nothing in myself. I can do all things in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I want Christ to come out of me, not me to come out of me. I've already seen me. Oh, I wanted that man to stay buried. He's buried right now, and I want him to stay there. Man, I know some of you can say amen to that. Now, before I get into the final part of the sanctified imagination, I'll show you how to keep from ever operating out of the soul. It's quite easy, actually. But before I get into that, I want to deal with fantasy just for a minute. Fantasy is a whole nother operation. Let me say a few things that the Holy Spirit showed me about fantasy. A lot of people engage in fantasy. Fantasy's not going to get you anywhere. An unbridled imagination is neither submitted to the Holy Spirit nor anchored within the confines, boundaries, parameters of the Word of God or the Kingdom of God. Fantasy is primarily centered around self-gratification in the world system. Fantasy is rooted within the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fantasy is generally employed, listen to this, as a means of escape from the responsibilities of life. When they hate their life and they don't know God, they don't know how to operate in the Spirit, they don't know how to change things by faith, what they'll do is project themselves in a fantasy world. Some will go to novels and project themselves. When they're not getting proper love and attention, they'll go to the romance novels and they'll engage in fantasy. You see, that's a fantasy. It causes you to escape out. Now, the sanctified imagination with faith also causes an escape, but we're not escaping out, we're escaping in. I am escaping my circumstances and the battle surrounds me, but I'm escaping into truth, see. I'm entering into truth where fantasy, you're just escaping from, you want to detach. And so people engage in fantasy just to detach. You will never birth anything like that. What we want to do is engage the sanctified imagination. It's huge. Listen, the enemy likes to corrupt the imagination early so he can utilize it because he understands its power. That's why he goes after it early and seeds children's minds. And a lot of other times he just shuts people down. If he can't use your imagination for corruption, he'll try to shut it down where you can't believe anything. Some people are afraid to believe. They're afraid to see. They don't even know how to release their imagination to see. But it's something that's hugely important. And for the rest of the service, I want to teach you how to utilize it the proper way. Abraham utilized it. God said, look at the stars, look at the heaven. But he had to hold that in his heart when he was doing it. Look at the sand of the seashore. These are your descendants. Abraham was called to birth one heir. But from that heir, God said, I'm going to make nations out of your loins. But your real call is to birth an heir. So you got to focus on what God's telling you to do. Amen. With your faith. Now you got to see. This is what Abraham did in his final year. You have to see this promise. And you can't go looking for it out here. You will never, listen to me, never find your promise out in the middle of circumstances in front of you. The enemy will surely bring everything contrary to your circumstance. He'll bring circumstances contrary to your promise and he'll surround you with them. Always. He does that for a reason. He never wants you centered into what God said. The sanctified imagination must be centered into what God has said. Say centered, focused. You must see, say with focus. Before the imagination, because I asked the Lord, I said, why are you bringing this back now? He goes, because it would be out of order to operate in the sanctified imagination before you have received my word, because my word is the boundaries you're going to release it into. Did you hear me? What does faith do? How much time have we spent on receiving the word and keeping the word? How much teachings have we taught? How much has the Holy Spirit been on that? Receiving the word, keeping the word, receiving the word, keeping the word. Why? He wanted that there first. He wanted the word of promise first. Why? Because that's what you're going to sink your imagination into. Secondly, he said, I said, well, why didn't you do it before Dunamis? He goes, because in Dunamis will empower both the word, it will empower the imagination, it empowers your belief system. It's the water for all of it. Now, I believe this is what God said to me. He said, the sanctified imagination is the final operation of pre-leavened faith before it goes into the leavening. And the manifestation of the promises come. Like, well, this is all so advanced, you know, I'm just going to... But you don't understand what this will do. The power of what we're talking about will not only transform your life, it'll transform your generations. It'll cause you to access the impossible things you could have never... Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You think he was going to give you the kingdom and keep you poor and just call you blessed? This kingdom was designed to launch you out of where you were into God. Amen? You've got to learn how it works. One of the things he keeps telling me, he goes, people never question going to college for 4 years to get an understanding of a trade or a skill that they utilize in the world. But just because you didn't go quit your class because you encountered something difficult, you pressed through. That's the same with the kingdom of God. You're going to have to understand and be able to understand how meat of the word works and understand spiritual things. You've got to press through till you get it. But when you do, you're not striving for an earthly crown. You're striving for a heavenly crown. But it will have all kinds of earthly manifestation attached to it. It's going to break you out of the prison you're in. It's going to break you out of the cycle you're in. It's going to break us out of the ceiling we're in. It's going to cause us to access the impossible, just like the Lord said it would. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. He said, I need my word there first. And I want dunamis there first. Mustard seed faith receives dunamis. It receives her. You got to spend time with the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples, can you not pray 1 hour? If you can't pray 1 hour, you're not going to do it. You know why people don't do it? Let me tell you. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me. Very important. You know why people don't do it? They don't see it. They don't see its potential. Let me tell you, my words right now are going to fall to the ground if you don't understand the potential of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it like this. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man sees, he'll go hide it and sell all that he has to go that treasure. He said, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, which a man sees, he goes sells all that he has to buy that one pearl. If you don't see the kingdom, so you think he's giving you that kind of imagery, but the kingdom will not demonstrate financial things? Are you kidding me? The kingdom absolutely will do that. It'll order your life. It'll order your foundation. It'll order your kids. It'll order your generations. But if you don't see its potential, you won't sell out enough to live the lifestyle of faith. So we end up living the lifestyle of human sufficiency. Come to church, know God, love God, going to heaven, praise the Lord. You can be successful. But you're not going to get the impossible like that. Amen? But if you see it, and you believe it, you'll go after it. Now, God will help you sometime if you got a really big call on your life and you got a heart to go to the gauntlet with the Lord. He'll help you by not allowing all your endeavors to work out there. He'll help you by when you go out there in yourself, not letting you run out there and just do it all yourself. How many of you run into yourself? That's God helping you. What he's doing is telling you that's not the way. Now, for years, I thought, okay, I got it. It's not by my might. It's not by my power. I'm going to sit here and do you do it. He goes, no, you only got half of it. Half of it, you can't do it. The other half is I got to show you how to do it. The first half is I can't do it, but you can't park there and think God's just going to drop it on you just because you got the revelation. You can't do it. Listen, 1 billion people came before you, got that revelation too. God trains everybody. You cannot do this. It's not by my might. My kingdom will not come by your might. But the first thing is going to train you. If you haven't been taught that, you're not ready for second phase anyway. How many of you got the first phase? I can't do it. That's a good place, but you can't park there. You can't sit there and park your car there. You're going to park and I can't do it, land, and you're not going to get anything. But moan the fact that I can't do this, God. And tell all your stories to everybody of all the woes you've been through. To get to the place that I myself can't do it. I've been crucified with Christ. That's half of it. Second half, nevertheless. Say, nevertheless, I live. Start your car and live. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ's going to live through me now. I'm going to do it God's way now. Then you've got to submit to the training of God. If you're not willing to do that, you're not going to see the impossible. But we got a whole church full of people that are willing. Say, I'm willing. So, now I'm going to spend the rest of this service showing you actually how to do this. Because once you have my word, you have the boundaries. So I started doing this, and I was keeping his word, acknowledging word, acknowledging dunamis, all the stuff we do. And then all of a sudden, about a month ago, Holy Spirit said, now I want you to begin seeing what you're believing for. I want you to begin seeing. Say, see it. Seeing. Not out here, in here. And I closed my eyes and I had his word right there with me. And I began to see it. Now say you're believing God to pay off your mortgage of your house. How would that work? Well, you get your scriptures and you receive the word of God concerning that I'm the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. He goes, I owe no man anything but to love him. I'm a lender in the earth and I shall not borrow. Some of you got your mortgage paid off. God bless you. Whatever your target is, you've got a target. You've got the word of that target. You've received the word. See, once you receive the word here, this is important. Listen to me. This is huge. Once you receive the word here, this is where you're going to release your imagination. Right into that word, not out here in fantasy. Do you understand? I'm going to direct it into that word. So I'm the head and not the tail. What do you do? What would it look like?
close your eyes. Now that I have his word, what would that look like if my house was paid off? See yourself going and writing that final check. See yourself rejoicing. See yourself telling everybody, my house is paid for, hallelujah. See yourself walking outside and free of debt without the covering of mammon. What does that look like? Your imagination can be extremely vivid. You find your target. Whatever your target is, but you got to release it into that word. You got to release it and sit there. Now, what will happen when it's untrained? Listen to me. You're not just releasing positive energy. You're releasing a seeing faith into a word that's been received. That's how you know it's right. All right. I've already got the word. I've already got dunamis. I'm releasing my. Now, what happened? Your mind will go. Your imagination will start running off somewhere else. Pull it back. Now I'm going to tell you to do this till you get what's called a lock-in. You can lock in. When you learn to lock in, you've got it. You'll be amazed how vivid your imagination can be, how alive this thing can be. This particular thing I'm believing God for, I got so engrossed into it that sometimes I can't differentiate where I'm at. It's so living. It's a living word. You can sink into it. That's what a sanctified imagination will do. It'll cause you to move into your promise. It'll cause you to live in your promise. It'll cause you to vividly see, feel, and experience the promise before it ever happens. You'll experience the joy of it happening. You'll experience. See, all that's happening, what's that doing? The Holy Spirit's utilizing to paint the image on the canvas of your spirit. This is not New Age. This is God's way of doing things. It is done by His Word. It is done by dunamis. And it's being done by, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to learn to believe. And to believe, you have to learn to see. And you're going to have to release that. If you don't, your mind, the enemy is going to surely use it to see the circumstances around you. He's going to get your eyes look upon the circumstances around you. And if you do, you're going to believe what the circumstances say. And a lot of times what happens, the enemy puts so much circumstance on people, well, their mouth starts agreeing with it. Now, when you get in faith, you'll recognize immediately people that are not in faith. You'll hear it in their mouth in 5 seconds. You'll hear words of doubt and unbelief all the time. You'll hear it. It makes you cringe on the inside sometimes. You're walking in faith now. You're not walking in doubt and unbelief, see. You're in fullness of faith. So what you got to do is you have to receive your promise and then release. You can meditate day and night. Once you get what I call a lock-in, once you get locked into the image of what you're believing for, you can come out of the prayer closet and you can walk around with that image is there. You can tap into that image anytime. You're tapping into it. Do you understand? Faith must see, faith must have dunamis power, and faith must have God's word. When you have those three, that is the components of what's called pre-leavened faith. Once it gets to a level of true faith, the Father's going to order the Holy Spirit to leaven. You know what leaven does? It causes this massive expansion, this massive transformation. Of the measures, they change, they transform, they expand. Once the faith is right, once the sight is right, once you see, once you have the word, once you have the evidence, once you have the substance, the Holy Spirit, the Father's going to order the Holy Spirit, He's going to leaven those measures. And when He leavens it, it goes like this. It starts as a word, and then that word becomes flesh and dwells among men. The dunamis started by faith. Sarah received dunamis, conceived. The Bible says virtue flowed out of Christ and He healed them all. That was dunamis. Dunamis, virtue flowed out. Power was present to heal. It got out. It got from in here to out here. Power is present to bless. You know, when they're on the season, He said, launch out into the deep. That power, that blessing was on them. When He said, drop down your nets, that blessing was right there. See, it was on them. Everywhere they went, it was there, see. Healing, miracle, salvation, blessing was on them. It was all moving outward now. It's all
releasing outwardly. Or you can say like faith like this, faith to move mountains. You can say to the mountain, be thou removed. That's a post-leaven operation, and it shall move. Do you see it? But if you don't allow your sanctified imagination to release into your promise, you're not going to develop the capacity to see the word. What you're seeing is your word. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, see your word. See your word. Don't see human potential. See your word. That's why you have to have the word. You lock into the word and you see it. The beautiful thing about imagination, the same about imagining, it can see it fulfill. It can experience the joy of it before it ever happens. When you get it locked in, you're in it. When you get locked in, you're in it. You're already there. You're at the finish line. You're post-finish line. You're seeing the joy. You're seeing it fulfilled. You're seeing the manifestation. You're seeing souls coming in. You're seeing creative miracles flowing. You're seeing. I got a lot of things I'm going to utilize our faith for. My next big project after this is to believe God for a new facility. After the one I'm on, a brand new one for us that we own. Debt free. I'm going to see services in there and children's church and youth going on and worship and creative miracles flowing in there. Seeing it. Faith that sees. Don't be afraid to see the promise. Glory to God forever.
I just wanted to say, I didn't know that he was going to be teaching about sanctified imagination today. But one of the things that he said was to get a target to your faith. And then, do you remember when I was sharing about tweaking? Sometimes it's just a tweak in what you're doing. And he said, focus in. He told me, he said, narrow down your focus and start focusing on even just a few things. Well, I had received a word from my spiritual mom, and she gave me a word in, out of her prayer closet, and I knew it was the Lord. I had this long laundry list of things I was believing for. And one of the things, of the two things she said that I should focus my target was the salvation of my family. So I purposed in my heart, I have purposed in my heart for the believing that I take a time because of 1 hour a day to focus and to target my faith. And I started by saying I focus my faith 1 hour a day. I have my 1 hour of power a day where I'm speaking and I'm decreeing and I'm seeing. And I'm on day 20 today, and it's been a real discipline to do it. And I set a time every day where I'm going to focus and target my faith. Well, anyways, today during my session of focusing in a time for really for the things that I'm believing for and for others, I started when I was praying and speaking, I could see my family being saved. What I was seeing is all these visions and that verse where it says you're filled with all joy and peace and believing, Romans 15:13. So, I was having to do my, session with walking this morning. It was really early in the morning, nobody up. And I just started saying, Lord, I thank you that my family is saved and serving you. Lord, I thank you that my family's going to Bible study. And Lord, I thank you that they're going to church, but I thank you, Lord God, that they're bowing their heads and they're praying. Lord, I thank you that they're acknowledging you and they're worshiping you. Lord, I thank you that I could see myself getting an email or a phone call saying, Sharon, I just gave my life to the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they're turning on the Christian TV. They're listening to the Christian radio, that they're excited about God and that they are being kind and loving and gentle, and they're full of the fruits of the Spirit. But as I was saying this, I was seeing like pictures, like a scripture picture on the wall. I mean, I was like, wow, you know, and just seeing like a picture of Jesus and just seeing them have a heart of love. Well, before this, I was shut down in the visual. I could not see that for anything because it looked so impossible. But now, through the watering of the day, taking the vision, taking and getting a target, focusing it, but hitting it every single day. Because it's the consistency of holding it, holding the vision because I'm close to the manifestation. And when we had that service on Wednesday and that dunamis power was released, that breakthrough anointing, I knew that was the power of God. And I just took my little connector and I just, whoop, just hooked up onto that little power supply. And I said, oh yes, that is for me. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. That I will see a breakthrough. My family being saved. My family will serve the Lord. He said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's one of the chiefest of the desires of my heart. And he is no respecter of persons. Faith is a law. The law of the Spirit of God. And so we're learning how to operate in those spiritual laws of faith, that mustard seed faith. And we may start out with this small thing over here or with this thing here, but it's just going to grow and it's going to multiply. Once you learn how to use the keys of the kingdom, there's nothing that we can't use to open up the doors and to release the kingdom of God in nations, in governments, in schools, in areas. We are going to take those keys and utilize them and release that kingdom.
Good. Praise the Lord. So she's talking about praying over her family. She can see that. Then go in there having a family reunion. You're all talking about the Lord. You can see, you can see them talking about the Lord. And what happens? Joy begins to rise in the heart. Peace, joy begins to rise. Faith, victory begins to rise in the heart because you're seeing the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Ham.
I was listening to a well-known minister on TV, and he said, I've been all around the nation teaching on faith. And the churches that succeed, he said, what separates the churches from succeed from the churches that don't succeed, is they are teaching sanctified imagination. He said, if you can't see it, you're not going to receive it.
Hallelujah. You got to see it. See, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever.
I'd like to share something with y'all real quick about visualizing. In the Marine Corps, you're taught when you're firing a weapon, you have a front sight aperture, rear sight post. When you align the rear sight post with the front sight aperture, that's called your sight picture. You can actually look around that rear sight post and see through that aperture and put it on the target. You'll miss it by a mile. Alignment. You have to take the rear sight post properly aligned with the front sight aperture. That is your sight picture. Once you have your sight picture crystal clear, then you place it on the target. You have to be in alignment first. Otherwise, you cannot even put it on the target. Keep that in mind. You have to keep your focus and you have to be aligned bulletproof before you can even get on the target.
Isn't that good? See the alignment. You have to align into the Word of God before you release the sight. The Word is your alignment. It's that aperture. You line into the Word. That's why Word comes first. Say Word. Word comes first. Then sight. Amen. Then sight. Meditation. Ponder. Speak. Imagine. Utter. Meditation.
The Word is our guideline. The Lord just brought this scripture to me. And listen as I read it to you, because it shows you that God said, I saw this. And who he spoke to didn't see it. It's in Jeremiah 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He saw that. He did that before it ever happened. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, and said I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.